City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 6 p.m. time certain.
Agenda item 165, appeal of Northwest District Neighborhood Association against a landmark commission decision to approve the application of William DeBellis, Donald Singer, Singer Thurman LLC, GFV Enterprises LLC, and 2311, 2317, Northwest Irving Street LLC for the Irving Street parking garage at 2311, 2317, Northwest Irving Street. LU06132367HDZM.
Thank you. The city attorney will now describe the hearing process.
Thank you. I have several announcements to make before we begin the hearing. These announcements are required by state law. They concern the kind of hearing we're having today, the order of testimony, and guidelines for presenting testimony. First, as to the kind of hearing we're having today, this is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. This evidence may be in any form, such as testimony, letters, petitions, slides, photographs, maps, or drawings. Any photographs, drawings, maps, or other items you show to the council during your testimony should be given to the council clerk at the end of your testimony to make sure that they become part of the record. As to the order of testimony, we'll begin with a staff report by Tim Heron from the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present the appellant's case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak to the council. Next will be the applicant, who will have 15 minutes to address the City Council and rebut the appellant's presentation. After the appellant, the council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal and support the applicant's position. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the applicants and supporters of the applicants. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a final vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. If the council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before the council. Last, I'd like to announce several guidelines for those presenting testimony and participating in the hearing. These guidelines are established by the zoning code and state law and are as follows. First, testimony must be directed to the approval criteria. Any testimony and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. Second, if you fail to raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval. That concludes my announcements.
Thank you.
Can I ask Catherine a question?
Please.
When you say the criteria for this land use review, are you talking about the decision by the Landmark Commission?
Yes, I'm talking about the design guidelines and the approval criteria for the design review.
Okay. Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No council members have a conflict of interest to declare. Do any members of councils have any ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of the hearing to disclose? My staff met with representatives from the Neighborhood Association and the applicant on October the 14th, 2006. I joined a neighborhood tour with members of the Northwest District Association. We reviewed this site, and at that time I heard concerns relating to several issues. I intend to listen to the testimony tonight and evidence in order to make a decision on the appeal. Do any members of council have any questions or other preliminary matters that need to be addressed before we begin the hearing? We'll begin the hearing. Please come forward, staff.
Good evening, Commission, Mr. Mayor. I'm Tim Herron with Bureau of Development Services, Design Review, Historic Design Review. Nice to be with you this evening. As the council clerk stated, this is an appeal of the approval of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission's decision on the Urban Street Parking Garage Land Use Review Case 06-132367HDZM. Slides I'm about to present you will carry you through the decision-making process as well as the approval criteria and some details about the garage proposal. Starting with the zoning map on the right and the enhancement on the lower left. Applicable approval criteria for this project, the community design guidelines, the Alphabet Historic District design guidelines, and modifications through design review. Notably, the site you'll see here on the lower left is separated by a CS zone as well as an R1 zone. On the right, you'll notice the large circle indicating the six locations where parking garages have already been approved as far as locations through the Northwest District Plan. The site in particular is site number one. And at these sites where a split zone is located, zoning of this particular type B lot, multi-dwelling and CS zone zoning, the development standards of the CS zone apply to the whole site, effectively making the site a CS zoned property. So aerial shot, just put this into context. The dashed line above shows the two lots where the garage is proposed to be constructed. The two structures on the left are proposed to be demolished. They are identified as non-contributing structures in the Alphabet Historic District. The lower right shows an approximate building envelope of the garage as it sits behind the Papa Haydn's restaurant on the corner of 23rd and Urban. Some quick shots, some historic context of the district. Lots of brick, some newer, some older, auto-oriented, storefront, and more modern. Summary of the approval was for a structured parking garage with 103 parking stalls. One curb cut allows for vehicular access and egress, noted by the red arrows in and out. Two pedestrian entrances are located at the street, adjacent to the stairs and elevator access to the upper levels of the garage. Those are noted by the green arrows on the right and the left. Decorative brick facade has been incorporated into this design, as well as fabric awnings, steel canopies, storefront, and fixed windows above. Externally illuminated signage is proposed, including modest roof deck lighting, as well as wall sconces along the street edge. Decorative painted steel screening and bike parking is located at each floor level. Modifications requested through the review process include modification to actual parking stall depth for the central core of parking stalls. This is a sign of how tightly built this garage will be to meet minimum standard sizes for Portland parking stalls. Again, the red arrows indicating access, egress, and access for vehicles, green for pedestrians. Other modification relating to ground floor windows. And the area in red shows the qualifying window area. The areas in green, which are also windows that allow clear views into the garage space, are considered non-qualifying and why the modification request was asked and subsequently approved. An additional modification request, while looked at specifically by the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission, had to do with the wall that's set behind the Papa Haydn's restaurant, modification was not addressed specifically as part of the code. However, there was specific discussion with the Historic Landmarks Commission on this item, and it has to do with window areas that would otherwise be required on what will be an internal lot line wall. We looked at this very closely and looked at decorative brick. Building code would have concerns with any openings on this lot line wall for fire reasons. Land use process, this proposal was submitted on May 16th, 2006. Four public hearings with the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission conducted between October 14th and November 13th, 2006. Substantial changes occurred during the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission's hearings. Final approval was on November 13th, 2006. Quickly running through the appellant's appeal points had to do with did not respond to the planary character, that the facade lacked visual interest and sense of enclosure, that the exterior design is not compatible with the area, nor with adjacent properties. Vehicle access was not safely designed for Northwest Irving Street. Double car garage door fails to minimize negative impacts on the community and pedestrians, as well as with vehicle conflicts. Parking garages are known places where crime occurs, and auto-oriented use attracts non-local traffic to a local street. So in result of the hearings with the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission, the process and this project changed significantly. The original drawing is at the top, the ultimately approved drawing is at the bottom. There were several responses to the concerns of the commission, of staff, and of neighborhood, starting with reduced curb cuts and narrow parking spaces. The red areas in the upper right show the original proposal. Those were for two-way garage entrances. They were reduced to one set of one entrance and one egress for vehicles, as in the lower left. The massing of the structure also changed, allowing for a step-down massing that went down towards the neighborhood. Storefront windows were added, as mentioned here, and also in the related ground floor window modification. All these windows allow clear views either into the lobby area for stair and elevator or into the garage area itself and vice versa. Distinct pedestrian entrances were improved from the original proposal to the one today with canopies, storefront glazing, and windows were added to the upper level of the eastern half of the building. So, in conclusion, City Council has the following options. You could deny the appeal and uphold the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission approval. The project would be approved as is. You may uphold the appeal and reverse the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission's decision of approval. Staff would need to revise findings and return for a second hearing. The project would be denied. You can request design changes and or additional conditions of approval. And again, staff would need to revise findings and return. The project could be approved with changes. The other is simply to request additional information. It's into my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
You said there were two structures. The current existing structures were non-contributing. What does that mean?
It means they've been deemed in the Alphabet Historic District as to not have historic value. There's several classifications within the Alphabet Historic District that classify primary contributing, secondary contributing, as well as non-historic or non-contributing structures.
Thank you. Other questions?
Well, I guess I wasn't quite clear on the what's being proposed for the upper face of the garage that is right above Papa Haydn's and faces 23rd. Windows or not windows?
In terms of the additional modification requests, Commissioner?
Yes.
What's being proposed in that location is a series of decorative brick bands, as well as some of the brick facade that fronts Irving will actually wrap that wall area.
So, did you say windows were a fire concern on that?
Yeah, it was raised in terms of not only just structural, but windows have a hard time being fire rated. And because that wall line will ultimately be an interior property line, the adjacent building would need to be fire protected vis-a-vis each direction. So no windows were proposed.
No windows, it'll be
correct.
Brick.
Right.
Thank you. And we'll hear from the appellate. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have a total of 10 minutes.
And we'll wait a minute as we set up.
I understand.
Thank you.
Is it possible to put those others over here so we can have line of sight with the council clerk? I guess I forgot the other side. We'll need to see our attorney. Whoops.
I'll yell for help if
I... Sorry. Good evening. My name is John Bradley. I reside at 2350 Northwest Johnson. I'm currently chair of planning for the NWDA. We are here today to appeal the decision of the Landmarks Commission concerning the Irving Street parking garage. We are not here out of a sense of the inevitable, but rather to point out that there are certain important key criteria in Title 33, the Northwest District Plan, the Community Design Guidelines, the Historic Guidelines, and the Comp Plan that this project does not meet. As you listen to our testimony, we ask you to keep in mind that we are comparing this structure to a higher set of standards other than, is this just a pretty parking garage? Does this garage fit the design standard as opposed to the development standards? Guideline P1, plan area characteristics, reads, quote, enhance the sense of place and identity by incorporating site and building features that respond to the area's desired characteristics and traditions. Because the site falls across two distinct design areas, two desired characteristic statements must be considered. The Knob Hill residential area statement reads in part, new development should utilize elements that distinguished the residential side streets from the more intensely hardscaped main streets. The design emphasis for the western half of the garage, zoned R, must therefore be residential. I would ask the commissioners if they see anything in the western half of the garage that represents or is reminiscent of a residential structure. And for that, number one, I ask you to compare it to the house that's standing right beside it. For instance, are there any windows on the western portion that look like they belong in an old home? Is there a true front door? Is there a porch? Clearly, the western half of the garage does not meet this guideline. The proposal also does not meet community guide standard E3. E3 states, create a sense of enclosure and visual interest to the buildings along the sidewalks and the pedestrian areas by incorporating small-scale building design features, creating an effective gathering place, and differentiating street-level facades. Again, the western half of the garage is not at all effective at creating a gathering place. Who would want to stand in front of two large garage door openings? The western facade fails to incorporate any small-scale design features that are the hallmarks of the surrounding residential area. Alphabet Historic District Guidelines 2 and 3 speak to compatibility and the necessity to enhance the historic feeling of place. Again, does the western half of this structure resemble anything in the Alphabet Historic District. We have a blank 20-foot wall exposure on the west side of the building with no openings and a small glass lobby whose whole essence is modern. Does this remind you of an Alphabet Historic building? Again, our answer is no. Landmark Commission erred in the part of the decision that approves an adjustment to the window standard. The decision states that the purpose of the standard is to avoid blank walls. It further states that blank walls are limited to provide a rich, pleasant, and diverse pedestrian environment and to avoid a monotonous pedestrian environment. The purpose behind these regulations are aimed at limiting blank walls and are not met. The code includes three options for meeting this standard. They are providing windows, providing display windows, or through an adjustment by adding public art. The finding that the design offers interesting details is not adequate. The code does not offer interesting details as a means of meeting this code. And for this code language, I refer you to Chapter 230. Waiving of this option is not based on other design considerations is not available. I relinquish my time to Kim.
Good evening. My name is Kim Carlson. I'm the NWDA Transportation Committee co-chair, and I live on Northwest Thurman. The Irving Garage proposal conflicts with Comprehensive Plan Goal 6.39, 6.39B, and 6.5F. This proposal creates an auto-oriented use in conflict with the goal of strengthening the multimodal transportation system and public transit use. The Irving Garage is an auto-oriented land use for purpose of attracting non-local traffic to a local service traffic street. Community Design Guidelines E4 requires the design to minimize negative impacts to pedestrians. Our neighborhood is a pedestrian district. It's a people place, and there are a lot of people in our neighborhood. Peak two-way pedestrian traffic was measured at Northwest Irving and 23rd Avenue last summer by PDOT. They counted 829 pedestrians in 1 hour. That is more than twice the number of pedestrians they counted at 14 other similar Main Street locations across the city. The Irving Garage, as it is designed and sited, puts those pedestrians unnecessarily at risk. The vehicle crash history of Northwest Irving Street at 23rd Avenue is second only to Northwest Burnside and 23rd. In the 4 years between 2000 and 2004, there were 11 crashes at Northwest Irving and 23rd Avenue. Two of those involved pedestrians in the pedestrian right-of-way, and both were driver error. The Irving Garage, as it is designed and sited, only exacerbates already unsafe conditions for pedestrians. There is already a high concentration of auto activity on Northwest Irving. The Fruit and Flower Child Care Center is located at 2378 Northwest Irving. 119 preschool-aged children are served at this center. And according to the staff, there 90% of them are dropped off and picked up in a car. This accounts for 100 vehicle trips each weekday morning and again 100 in the evening. The Cambridge condominiums at Northwest Irving Street at 24th Avenue, when occupied, will generate an estimated 568 trips per day from 140 parking spaces. The Irving Garage, as it is designed and sited, only intensifies already congested traffic conditions, making it unsafe for pedestrians. Northwest Portland streets now carry a huge volume of traffic. On May 25th of last year, a PDOT traffic volume count at Northwest 23rd Avenue and Pettigrove Street reported 15,905 vehicles in a 35-hour period. Peak hour volume at this location was 1,281 cars. This was before new residents began occupying the Vaux, a condo complex at 24th and Raleigh that Kittleson and Associates estimated will generate 730 trips a day from its 180 parking places. This is before the estimated 568 trips per day we can expect from the Cambridge, as I already mentioned. And this does not count the 75 condominiums being built at Northwest Pettigrove and 20th that could generate another 600 trips per day. It does not count the 104 condos at the Westerly at 23rd Place at Burnside, which could generate 468 trips per day. It does not include the trips generated from an additional 57 public places at the Westerly. The Irving Garage, as it is designed and sited, will only worsen traffic conditions in Northwest Portland, making it unsafe for pedestrians. Finally, no transportation study has been done for the proposed Irving Garage. The transportation portion of the NWDA neighborhood plan has been remanded until the 1994 Metro Travel Survey can be fully entered into the city's travel demand model. Large-scale development at the north end of our neighborhood is prohibited without a transportation study of the impacts of their development on the I-405 23rd Avenue and Vaughan Street intersection. Each new development in Northwest Portland, some of which I have mentioned, including the Irving Garage, has an impact on this linchpin intersection. The cumulative effect of these new developments has a significant impact. The Irving Garage, as it is designed and sited, will only add to the congestion at I-405 23rd Avenue and Vaughan Street. I respectfully ask you to find that the Design Commission decision has not carried the burden of proof to show that the evidence submitted demonstrates that each and every element of the criteria is satisfied.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Juliet Hyams. I live at 2324 Northwest Marshall, and I'm acting president of the Northwest District Association. I'm going to address community design guidelines and a comp plan goal related to safety. Chapman School can provide an indicator of how the population of children is increasing in Northwest Portland. In 2004, Chapman's enrollment was at 400 students. This fall, they started with 490, a dramatic increase. Chapman's excellence attracts homebuyers with children. Also, we all know how much housing is developing within Chapman's area of attendance, and many other children circulate near MLC, Child Peace Montessori, Fruit and Flower, and Class Academy. Furthermore, this year, Chapman became part of PDOT's Safe Routes to School project. Safe Routes encourages children to walk and bike safely to school. But children don't just walk. They charge down the sidewalk, especially on a street like Irving with a slight incline. Children can easily grasp the concept of stopping at corners, but navigating a 29-foot driveway, wide driveway, when the driver may not see them until the car is on the sidewalk is more complicated. We also have a significant aging population, many of whom walk regularly and may lack the eyesight and reflexes of younger people. The proposed garage fails to address community design guideline E1C, as its two entrances and lack of setbacks disrupt a safe network of sidewalks. Furthermore, it does not address Comprehensive Plan Goal 6.39B, which seeks to minimize pedestrian-automobile conflicts. In fact, the garage would create a new and significant source of such conflicts. Northwest Portland is specified by PDOT as a pedestrian district and then is therefore held to a higher standard of pedestrian safety. On the proposed garage site's block face and across the street, people live and a preschool operates. Thus, the block accommodates a lot of pedestrians, including at least 119 children. The garage's two doors do not meet guideline E4 by failing to minimize negative impacts on the community and its pedestrians. And finally, publicly accessible garages offer seclusion that invites vagrants and petty criminals. Good Samaritan Hospital has structures that are well lit and patrolled 24 hours a day, but they have a lot of problems in them. And this garage will not be secure in the same manner. The garage does not satisfy community design approval guideline D5, which requires that the development reduce the likelihood of crime. D5, crime prevention, and criterion D7 are directly in conflict. D7 requires blending into the structure into the neighborhood, and it is unlikely that a parking structure could be both unobtrusive and secure at the same time. Please think of our children who thrive outside of automobiles and vote in favor of the appeal. We need your help to implement these policies. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Sure.
Before we begin the signed up testimony, we have a total of 62 people who have signed up to testify, 36 in support and 26 oppose. Because of the large number of people, I'm going to restrict the testimony to 2 minutes. So we will begin with persons who are here to support the appeal. And Carla, please read the first names.
They come up three at a time. The first three are Leland Stapleton, Sharon Janassi, and Carolyn Skinner. They'll be followed by Dan Volkmer, Susan Filkins, and Nancy Panstad, I believe it is.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
My name is Leland Stapleton. I reside at 2445 Northwest Westover Road, Unit 204, Mayor Potter, Council. Today, I would like to focus my comments before Council on pedestrian safety and now adherence to meeting historic alphabet district guideline number 3, that is, compatibility with adjacent properties will promote that goal. I have serious concerns about safety as a pedestrian using Northwest Irving between 23rd and 24th at the location of the proposed project. Here, the proposed design allows no setback from the sidewalk on Northwest Irving to the entry or exit from the garage. It needs a setback. Without a setback, there's an inherently unsafe situation on this street. It can be remedied. A similar concern was brought up during the design review of the Westerly condominium at the head of Northwest Everett at Westover. The garage entrance was set back from Northwest Westover to allow for vehicle space before entering the street or alternatively entering the parking garage. That modification was made in part to provide for better pedestrian safety. The residential portion of the structure, if not the entire structure, needs to be set back from the street to allow space for vehicles that would exit or enter the garage. It would prevent vehicles from blocking the sidewalk when exiting or entering the structure. It would provide better sight lines. It would allow the structure to be more compatible with the adjacent properties that have setbacks from the street. It would also allow a porch-like design similar to the adjacent residences. I now request that City Council allow the appeal. It would give the city the opportunity to reconsider its decision not to require setbacks at this location. If the garage is still deemed feasible, even though not desirable, all the parties involved should deal with implementing a better and safer alternative to the one before council today.
Good evening. My name is Sharon Genasi. I'm the chairman of the NWDA Health and Environment Committee. It's a committee of the NWDA board. Our group has been concerned about air quality in Northwest Portland since the 1990s. For a number of years, we monitored the air ourselves, working with an air quality specialist. And in our samples over the years, we found high levels of benzene. For example, in 2001, we took 17 samples, in all of which we found elevated levels of benzene, ranging from 16 to 73 times above the EPA cancer benchmark, and from 67 to 293 times above the California cancer benchmark. Benzene is a Class A carcinogen with the same legal status as tobacco for causing cancer in humans. Studies show that breathing air contaminated with benzene inflicts genetic damage linked to childhood leukemia. According to Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality, the current benzene level in the Portland area is 20 times the cancer risk level of 1 in 1 million. And today, EPA's National Air Toxics Assessment shows that the state of Oregon's average benzene concentrations are at the same elevated level of 20 times the cancer benchmark. However, this does not adequately portray the danger to Northwest Portland, since we are located next to an industrial area that permits industrial emissions of benzene added to the mobile sources of vehicles. We do not want any more traffic in our neighborhood that would bring us even higher levels of benzene. Building large parking garages in the middle of our neighborhood would bring more traffic into Northwest Portland. Please consider the public health cost to us of this decision and do not proceed with plans to build a garage.
Caroline Skinner, 2420 Northwest Quimby Street. I oppose the parking garage as cited, and I support the appeal. I live in an apartment and I'm a renter. All around me, I'm seeing apartment buildings of a similar vintage being converted to condominiums. I find this to be a worrisome trend since I'm not seeing any new rental units coming in. There will always be people who want to rent and not own, such as seniors, students, and single parents who want to live near but not in downtown. I find that it's an unfortunate and acceptable plan to tear down a fourplex rental in favor of parking for our first neighborhood parking garage. Also, I've been an active participant with Sharon in the Health and Environment Committee, meeting monthly to work on solutions for local air quality problems. We have been saying for years that we are over health benchmarks in benzene. The bottom line is that parking will bring in, this type of parking garage will bring in more cars, more traffic congestion, and pollution. Benzene is a known carcinogen. Residential areas of Northwest should not be exposed to even higher levels of vehicle emissions than they already are. Clearly, a parking garage is great if you're a business person seeking parking for clients and customers, but not so great if you live in a nearby home that will experience negative effects. I understand that NWDA has identified 6 acceptable sites for a garage with existing surface lots already on them. I know I can't totally oppose a parking garage, but I do oppose the removal of residential housing, and I oppose 0 setbacks in this particular case. Too many residences have already been lost for use as parking in Northwest Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we have Dan Volkmer, Susan Filkins, and Nancy Pantstall, I believe it is, on Northwest 22nd. They'll be followed by Perry Heitman, Sandra Stapleton, and Rachel Cody. That's Dan Volkmer, Susan Filkins, and Nancy Pantstall. Are up now.
We have Dan here.
Call two more.
Perry Heitman, come on up. And Sandra Stapleton, come on up. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for being here. Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Sandra Stapleton. I reside at 2445 Northwest Westover Road, unit number 204. I'm here to talk really about the plans approved by the Landmarks Commission that covers property other than the garage site. I'm concerned that the plans approved by Landmark Commission require improvements on an adjacent property not owned or controlled by the garage's developer. The Landmarks Commission's decision requires that the submitted plans be fully implemented as shown in the approved drawings. Changes must go back to the Commission for consideration and possible approval, but the Commission's decision is only binding for the property that is part of the application. The approved plans show 5 trees being planted on the adjacent property to the west of the proposed garage site. This property is not a part of the application, yet landscape improvements that are part of the approval are shown there. It is clear that the Landmarks Commission's approval of the proposal requires that off-site landscaping mitigate the commercial parking garage. Yet, since the off-site location is not part of the proposal site, there can be no assurance that the required off-site landscaping will be installed, or if it is installed, that it will be maintained. I urge you to vote yes on the appeal, since development of the approved plans requires the applicants to make and maintain improvements on property that is owned by another party. An alternative would be to delay consideration until after the Landmarks Commission can clarify their decision to require the off-site landscaping as part of this decision. Thank you for allowing me time to address you tonight.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Perry Heitman. I live at 2353 Northwest Gleason Street. And I'd like to share with you my thoughts and experiences since moving to Portland as it relates to this garage. I believe the plan to construct this parking garage in Portland's historic Northwest neighborhood is a solution in search of a problem. I won't sit here and say that parking is plentiful or that I haven't had to circle the block to park, but I will tell you is that I knew that that was the case when I purchased 2 homes in Northwest. In fact, my partner and I embraced that aspect of Northwest as part of an active, mixed-use urban neighborhood. I take the bus to work, and we walk to most other destinations. And we didn't always do that. We adopted those habits when we moved to Portland because we came to appreciate Portland's values. Portland has prided itself on planning for sustainable growth and planning for the greater good of the whole community. Building this garage in Northwest runs contrary to that vision. I moved here from Atlanta, where parking lots are plentiful and walking is unheard of unless it's in a shopping mall. When we were looking for a home in Portland 8 years ago, we were attracted to Northwest scale and its historic homes and active pedestrian focus. We appreciate those qualities even more now. 2 years ago, when we began looking for a larger home, we looked only in Northwest Portland, and we found a home on Northwest Gleason, 2 blocks from this proposed garage. We're concerned that the parking garage will destroy the intimacy of our neighborhood because it will compromise the scale and residential character of the Northwest neighborhood. Northwest is riddled with parking lots where historic homes have been torn down or where historic homes used to lie. These lots stand out like sore thumbs, and you have the benefit of learning from these past decisions. And I encourage you not to repeat the mistakes of the past and support the appeal. Thank you.
Gentlemen, I'm Dan Volkmer, NWDA Historic Preservation Committee, 2205 Northwest Johnson. Historic Alphabet District Guideline number 2 requires that new construction is to be compatible with historic qualities identified in the historic context statement. First paragraph of the context statement cites criteria for a neighborhood to attain landmark status is that the neighborhood must have produced prominent people who shaped the city. The parking ordinance calls for demolition of the Julia and Lee Holly Hoffman House. The applicant will say the Hoffman House is not up for discussion because it's listed as non-contributing property covered with stucco. But with its demolition, Guideline 2 is violated because it removes the symbol of the historic heritage left by the Hoffmans, thereby removing historic qualities from our neighborhood. Go to the context statement and you will find the historic qualities are about important people, churches, schools, medical facilities, the streetcar, residential architecture. Nowhere in the context statement does it mention contributing versus non-contributing properties, nor is there a single mention of commercial parking structures. On the other hand, although deceased for over 70 years, Julia Hoffman was recently featured in Portland Magazine as one of the city's 100 most influential people in the city. She brought art to the city. She founded the Oregon School of Arts and Crafts. Her son Lee started his family in the home and went on to found Hoffman Construction. You cannot demolish the former dwelling of Portlanders who've contributed so much to what our city is today, replace it with a commercial parking garage, and say that's compatible with historic qualities identified in the historic context statement. Guideline 3 is not met either. For the garage to incorporate design themes characteristic of similar buildings, it would have to be a one-story parking garage. Complying with these two historic design guidelines requires far more than just brick and metal work that is pointed here as making good. The design fails to meet both 2 and 3. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we have Rachel Cody, Judy Moore, and Joy Strand. They'll be followed by Elliot Tremald, Bud Clark, and Vera Katz. It's Rachel Cody, Judy Moore, and Joy Strand. Okay, how about Elliot Tremald?
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Who's first?
You start. I'll go ahead. Hi, my name is Joy Strand. I live at 2144 Northwest Flanders. I've lived in Portland since 1984. That's 23 years. I'd like to talk to you this evening about the off-site impacts of the garage. City Code Chapter 33.262 regulates the off-site impacts associated with non-residential developments. This section of the code requires that the development of the proposed commercial parking garage must not have objectionable noise, odors, vibrations, or glare impacts on adjacent and nearby residential uses. Specific standards are provided to measure the impacts of noise, odors, vibration, and glare. Offsite impacts are a strong possibility when an above-ground commercial parking garage is built. The inherent natures of cars in a garage is that they make noise, they exhaust fumes, they shake, and at night their headlights can disturb nearby residents. These impacts to the surrounding residential areas are of great concern. Offsite impacts are normally considered during the review of construction documents. However, the introduction into a residentially zoned area of a commercial parking garage that could be open 24/7 creates the potential for such significant impacts that how these impacts are mitigated should be considered before the garage is permitted. The garage development proposal and the Landmarks Commission ruling do not address these off-site impacts, nor how they will be kept to non-objectionable levels per the requirements of the city code. The community deserves to know what will be done to ensure off-site impacts will be kept to non-objectionable levels. Furthermore, it is the city's responsibility to protect neighborhoods from the impacts that could negatively impact on livability and health. I urge you to vote on the appeal, to support yes on the appeal, and to direct the Bureau of Development Services to discharge its obligation to ensure that this commercial parking garage's offsite impacts will not exceed the limits explicitly defined in Chapter 33.262 of the code. Additionally, BDS's processes...
Ma'am, your time's up.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Rachel Cody. I'm battling laryngitis, so sorry. And I live on Northwest Overton. And I love this neighborhood, and my three young children are thriving there. And there are three primary considerations that I have in looking at this parking structure. The first is the impact on the character of the neighborhood. The charm and the uniqueness of this neighborhood derive from its eclectic mix of merchants, national chains, and local independents. Its combination of retail and residential, and especially, I think, its walkability. The proposed parking structure, as is unsafe, and it's totally out of sync and scale with the surrounding community. Above-grade parking structures, as this one is, are relics, more suited to suburban mall than urban core, let alone a historic district. The second is leveraging existing public investment. We've already invested, we, the public, with our taxpayer dollars, large amounts in public parking lots downtown and the public transportation to bring people from those lots to Northwest 23rd. So structures like this one would not deteriorate the character of the neighborhood. I think it's a slap in the face to the public support, both in terms of dollars and ridership, and to Portland's longstanding preference for public transportation to put this parking structure on Irving. Third, study the alternatives. I can't quote you the exact numbers, but if someone were to study it, I'd hazard they would find hundreds of existing surface parking within a short distance of the proposed site. There's the Paylot to the south, off the top of my head, Legacy, Conway, Montgomery Park. It warrants further study before a negative precedent is set. So I urge you to think outside the box, the parking structure box, and support the appeal. Portland is known for innovative planning and problem solving and for listening to the community voices. The proposed parking structure represents none of this, and it's a step backwards. In fact, if you tried, I don't think you could pick a worse location or design in terms of negative impact on the community than the one proposed. It will have real problems and dangers for the neighborhood and for the city as a whole. It manages to be both an awful throwback and a precedent, which the city council will be hard-pressed to rescind in the future. Thank you.
I'm Elliot Trummel. I live on 2018 Northwest Irving Street, and I'm a recent arrival, May 2003. I've heard a lot of technical talk here tonight, and I'd like to inject a human note on behalf of a lot of confused but very enthusiastic people who've come to Portland recently. On a whim, I bought into the Northwest District. Trees, grass, homes, a sense of history, easy shopping, and good public transportation. Yet in the middle of a thriving city. Now, that's an irresistible combination. Shortly after I arrived here, I met you, Mayor Potter, at a Thurster meeting down at McMiniman's Tavern, and I had over a 30-minute conversation with you about your plans. You were running for the mayor at that point, and I was impressed by those. I also got a lot of heat for monopolizing your time. But you tried to explain to me the wonders and confusions of Portland and city government. I don't know that I fully understood it, but I see you've done quite a job since you've gotten in there. But you also spoke of the unique position of neighborhoods, vital neighborhoods, and how they define the character of the city. I liked your views, and I say tonight that neighborhoods, generally, I speak for, and mine specifically, I really am speaking for. Parking predates my arrival, but the issue is at the center of a debate about how my neighborhood will design itself in the future. And I see a weakening of neighborhood control, which, given our conversation, is something I don't think you want to see happen. I've also talked to a number of people, all of whom wanted parking. Almost all expressed reservations about turning residential property to commercial use. No resident I know was for it. And this is a city that I think needs to preserve that. And I suspect that you also agree with me that the Northwest Historic District, much as I do, should remain as it is, and a parking structure is simply out of place. So I beg, literally beg you to support this appeal. In this instance, a small part of history is being replaced by concrete and steel. It's lost forever. Please don't let this parking structure become the definition or the design of the future.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we have Larry Ogletree, Brian Bramlett, and Jake Aon.
Call the names again.
Larry Ogletree, Brian Bramlett, and Jake Aon, A-Y-O-N. Come on up.
Okay.
Are you two of those people? Okay, go ahead. Okay, and how about pedestrian Pete?
Call the next one.
How about Rick Young? Then we'll have Marcia Freed, Bill Ehlers, and Chris Smith.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Go ahead. I'm Brian Bramlett from 2130 Northwest Everett. When I look back at the path that brought us here, I see many issues rooted in bypassing established code and process and hard-won plans. This kind of proposal enabled by spot zoning is a fundamental contradiction to the intent of zoning, design districts and guidelines, and local and comprehensive plans. In this case, we have an ordinance that allows a de facto rezoning of R1 to CS through the proposal at hand. Further, the ordinance removes some requirements that would otherwise be in force and limits the ability to amend enumerated constraints. This is unprecedented. Even more significantly, the proposal would remove existing affordable housing but does not replace this housing on this property or anywhere in the neighborhood. It removes housing for people, our neighbors, and replaces it with temporary housing for cars. In addition, this proposal would remove an existing commercial building, replacing the space for businesses and local jobs with support for cars most likely driven for places served by our extensive investments in transit and transportation planning. This proposal is a solution not only in search of a problem, but a problem of its own creation. Housing and commercial density actually decreases with this land use. The structure cannot reasonably be repurposed for housing or commercial use in the future and would require demolition. This extremely poor use of increasingly valuable space within the city comes with no compensatory conditions nor requirements for identification of replacement resources. All of this stems directly from a document that could be viewed as incompetently written if it didn't so specifically attempt to write this particular garage design into code. As much as we've heard about the horrors of code that dictates design, this is far worse. It's design written into code. It's bad practice, bad policy, and truly bad precedent. Even if the proposal is allowed by this ordinance, that does not mean it must be, nor that it is even possible to implement within other constraints. Claiming that it is an allowed use does not abrogate the responsibility to meet all conditions and dependencies, nor does it turn the issue into a negotiation resolvable between neighbors and developers on design details. It requires the stewards of this process to act with the responsibility to which they have been hired, appointed, or elected to serve. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kevin Colt, but my friends call me Pedestrian Pete. I agree with Amanda. When I first came to Portland, Mayor Potter, you were running for office, and I got to talk with you, and I said, cool guy. But let me tell you why I moved to Portland. My doctor told me that I had boli, which are the beginning of emphysema from having smoked for 31 years, and I also needed hip replacements. So I decided to do something good for myself. I got on the internet and researched what city in America would be the kind of city that would give me a healthful lifestyle, and I came up with Portland. So thank you all for that, because it's a result of your hard work that I'm here, actually. When I first came here, I went to Northwest 23rd and saw how beautiful that street is, and for that I want to thank you, Mr. Singer. It's a really nice street. Here's the thing. When all this came to pass, we had no idea there might be a streetcar going in on Burnside. You know, we already have a streetcar on Lovejoy. We have a great neighborhood. It's really walkable. You guys know this if you've walked through our neighborhood. My concern is this. The Hoffman House is historic. It's important to Portland. But again, it comes down to, with me, pedestrian safety. I came here and I gave up my car to enjoy all the wonders of this town. We see this downtown all the time. People back up their cars when they're trying to get in and out of a parking structure. And that parking is going to run around the corner and onto Irving. And it's going to be really bad news for all the pedestrians walking there. It's just going to be just so much traffic, so many cars, and so much going on. Please don't do it. There's got to be some other way to get around this. Let me tell you, if I can give up smoking, if I can learn how to walk, and if I can take public transit, believe me, we're going to hear people coming after me saying they're looking for parking, they're looking for parking, they're looking for parking. Please get out of your car and walk. Thanks.
My name is Jake Aon, 2130 Northwest Everett. The photograph I brought is from Google Earth. I can say that the image is taken at approximately 12 noon, most likely on a weekend. I arrive at this conclusion because all the weekday-only business lots are empty. All the weekday-only business lots are empty. You can see, well, if you get up close, that the 21st and 23rd, as well as all the residential side streets, have cars parked along the curbs. I did a quick visible parking spaces only survey of what I could see within the area that encompasses the Northwest Plan District. To the south, you have two medical buildings, a Chinese restaurant, a small business building, the paid parking lot behind Pizzicato, the MLC faculty parking lot, and a bank. A total of 216 visible stalls, 22 of them are occupied, 22 of 216. In the midsection, we, of course, have Good Sam. Visible stalls, 385. Occupied, 33. This does not take into account that three of these are existing multi-level parking structures, and they have an estimated 500 additional stalls not visible. The Northern District, weekday business parking lots visible, 1,000-plus stalls. Occupied, 22. The Northwest Plan enacted in 2003 fundamentally limits the usage of 95% of the areas mentioned as only the six original areas earmarked in the Northwest Plan may be converted to commercial parking, and of those, only two are allowed to be converted as is, meaning as surface parking, MLC and the current lot between Hoyt and Irving off 23rd. All the others by code require new parking structures, Trader Joe's, Serrato's Mingo's block, Flanders Medical, and of course the Papa Hayden's and the two lots behind it. The overall effect of the entire section of code is that it creates a surface parking crisis, not rectifies one. The Northwest Plan has good things within it. However, the commercial parking section, as written, is not one of them. It is written to circumvent underlying residential zoning. It creates false shortage of surface parking by eliminating other possibilities, and it is to the detriment of the residents of the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we have Rick Young, Marcia Freed, and Bill Ehlers. How about Chris Smith? And they'll be followed by David Hopkins, Joane, and Dan Anderson.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I am Chris Smith, and I am going to speak to the final appeal point, and I have a letter, which Carla has, that goes through this, about bringing traffic from outside the district onto a local neighborhood's surface street. And I'm going to address that by talking about what's not happening, because we're talking about this parking structure. What's not happening is the 2002 Northwest Parking Plan, developed by a group of citizens over 18 months, citizens from both sides of the aisle here tonight, which unfortunately went by the wayside when we started adding parking structures to this plan. This plan called for a combination of metered parking, a residential permit system, and a transportation management association to help reduce auto demand and parking demand in the neighborhood. In the 4 years since the parking structure plan was approved, a lot has changed. I'd like to spend a minute to review that. In 2003, 23rd Avenue was suffering from the bottom of a recession. Since that time, the recession's ended. 23rd Avenue is vibrant again. There are lots of new businesses. There's a new retail building that houses a Williams-Sonoma home store and a Pottery Barn bed and bath store, which was built and occupied with no new parking added to the neighborhood. Apple Computer was prepared to locate a store in the neighborhood without any additional parking. Commissioner Adams knows that the city's become acquainted with the writings of Donald Shoup, the high cost of free parking, and in fact, the plan that I referenced is very much in line with Mr. Shoup's thinking and what Commissioner Adams has proposed for business districts. We're fighting a war in Iraq that this council has opposed over oil to fuel our cars. Global warming has gone from being a nagging concern to being an established scientific consensus. And your own Portland Peak Oil Task Force that you commissioned includes among its recommendations prevent overexpansion of transportation infrastructure that may not be a good investment with higher fuel prices. I would submit to you that the last 4 years and what we've learned suggest that this is the answer, not the parking structure that you're reviewing tonight. Thank you.
Hi there. My name is Rick Young. I'm a neighbor on Northwest 24th. I live 50 feet from the Silver Cloud Inn, and I'm here to speak about the negative impact of having a parking structure close to residential. And I think that the impact that this structure would have on the immediate neighbors. So the experiences that we've had are people coming home from dinner, having a little too much wine, And you know how that can go. Your voice sometimes gets louder than you think it is. So the immediate neighbors will have that experience, along with couples that can quarrel, that can raise the noise level, and also we've had physical and verbal fights that I've had to call the police for. And that's in a relatively quiet section of town. And the Silver Cloud does maintain staff there that sort of look after it. I'm not sure if this parking structure will have anybody that would be able to alert the police if there's a problem. And I don't think that these kinds of negative impacts are fair to the people that bought their homes on Irving before the parking structure